This morning we open the Word of God in the book of Psalms. We'll first read Psalm 1 and 2 as our scripture passages, and then our text, our focal point, will be in Psalm 145. So first Psalm 1 and 2, page 528 in our Pew Bible, or Chair Bible. Psalm 1, this is the word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Why do the nations rage, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." So we now turn to our text in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. That's Psalm 145, our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 145, brothers and sisters, speaks about God's handiworks, his mighty acts, and his marvelous goodness, greatness, and glory. They are evidence of God the Creator, of his creativity, his almighty power. Now, if there is one thing that overwhelms us and intrigues us when driving through his creation at any time of the year or any season in our years, it's just that. Whether you are in the northern part of our province or at the Great Lakes, you see him, hear him, smell him, and feel his power and presence. How glorious he is, and how small we are. No matter what you see, the vastness of the landscape and waters, or the flowers, birds, and squirrels, we're also privileged to live in a province in which his providence shows all around us wherever you go. Now, it can happen during your holidays, beloved, that you drop in at a special store or boutique or visit a museum, that you find there a book that's open to the visitors, inviting you to express your impressions, your opinion, your feedback. You can write your name in it, mention the place you're from, and share your feelings, express what you like about the place. You can comment on the displays and decorations in the store, or the pieces of art, the items in the exhibition, etc. Well, that's what David is doing in this psalm. He expresses his admiration for God's wonderful deeds, his works of art. We see it in all of creation. His display of power, his goodness to his creatures, his faithfulness, his compassion, his mercy, you name it. Now, it's not David's purpose that we write our feedback and feelings in a book of visitors, but that we use the psalm to express our admiration and adoration with our mouth in our songs of praise. People do that too. Sing, write music, compose, and use their talents to express their amazement in one way or other. That's how we can express to God how great we think he is, how wonderful his works are. We do have a book, though, brothers and sisters, which helps us see with eyes of faith and which helps us recognize this Creator. It shows us in detail what his great and mighty acts have been and still are. It helps us recognize his wonderful deeds and his works of creation and recreation as he has performed them and still performs. Then we know that God enjoys our feedback too, our expression of praise and adoration. He wants to hear us sing, expressing our amazement at him, our gratitude for belonging to him. Why that is? Well, because there are lots of people who don't see anything, who don't recognize him at all, or who express themselves in any praising way. They could not care less about the origin of this creation, or they have their own opinions about what is there. They don't believe in God, or they don't think of him, and they are much less interested in coming to know him and his works. They are so wrong, so wicked in that. God helped us so much to ensure that we would know him rightly and express what we know, to admire and adore him and praise him with our songs. He even included a section in his book of Psalms for that purpose. So that's our focus today. Praising God means that we know, recognize, and speak of him. And then we see three things. First of all, the exhortation: praise him in your life. Secondly, praise him in his work. And thirdly, praise him as your king. So I summarize the message of this morning as follows. Praising God means that we know, recognize, and speak of him. Praise him in your life. Praise him in his work. Praise him as your king. So first of all, praise him in your life. Psalm 145, brothers and sisters, is a simple song, without difficulties for its explanation. Can we find some order in it? Not really. The psalm is a so-called alphabetic song. In the original psalm, the verses begin with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet in its correct order. Hence, its order is not internal, but external. The psalmist goes from one point to another and returns to what he has said already. Just like you have it when wandering through God's creation or when contemplating God's works. Yet one thing is clear, the psalmist has to sing about it. Praise what he sees or thinks. He has to praise his God, God's greatness, goodness, and glory. That's the focal point. Indeed, this psalmist is David, and he has signified this in the heading of the psalm, a song of praise. Now you could think that the whole book of Psalms is a book of songs of praise, which is what its Hebrew name denotes. But be that as it may, David wanted to express that specifically and explicitly with this psalm. It's the only one in which he does so. This makes the psalm very special. Its place is also special. I'm sure you are aware, beloved, that all the psalms in the closing section of the book of Psalms are songs of praise. In the Psalms 145 to 150, there are no problems, complaints, cries or expressions of misery. No, there is just praise, honor, glory, etc. We need these psalms to express our praise. For let's be honest, We are not inclined very much to express our praise or to sing. That's mainly due to our sinful nature, but it could also have something to do with our ethnic background, our inclination to be stern and sober and serious. The point, however, is, do we realize that God wants us to praise Him, to hear us express our joy in Him, our gratitude to Him? It's good, therefore, that we have this opportunity this morning to reflect on Him, to meditate on His praise, and to learn how to praise God our Maker. Indeed, each psalm calls us to praise Him. Hallelujah, it commands. Praise the Lord, that is. Yes, then we learn that all of nature must praise Him. The sun, moon, and stars, the animals in the water, and the birds as well. Yes, also all men, old and young, rulers and citizens are called to praise, exhorted to extol the Lord by saying and singing, Hallelujah. Now, why is that, my brother and sister? Well, it's one of the most outstanding features and the unique character of Israel's religion that Israel's God is the Almighty God who nevertheless was not too exalted to be involved with His creatures on earth, to bow down to His people who serve Him. The Lord their God, who is unfathomable and incomprehensible, is at the same time the God who dwells with His people. He is the God from far, who is the God who came near. He is great and glorious, and at the same time good and gracious. Hence He wants all those creatures to whom He is near to praise and glorify Him, especially His people. He wanted this not just once in a while, but all the time, from generation to generation. Verse 4. And what a wonderful thing that is indeed, when you are together as family and the little ones, together with the older ones and the parents and grandparents, sing together the praises of our God. Now, doing so not only in the worship services, but all the time, every day. Together they proclaim the mighty deeds of the Lord, the glories of His majesty, and the honor of His goodness. You see, beloved, when you realize this, and come to recognize God's desire for it, you will see the purpose of the Psalms 145 to 150. Then Psalm 145, David sets the tone for that with this special and specific song of praise. Yes, then you see that throughout these psalms, the choir and orchestra increases, the numbers grow, and the volume climbs to its crescendo in Psalm 150. Then all the instruments are taken along to join together in a song of praise with the trumpets, the drums, the flutes, the harp, the cymbal, and whatever else the people could find to play on. They are joined with all that has breath to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you read through these psalms, you sense the excitement, the tension, and the intensity of its message. God must be praised in your life. With Psalm 150 as its climax, it's like the finale of the fireworks on July the 1st. When you know God, recognize Him, and speak of Him, you must praise Him in your whole life and together with His creation and creatures. Now, as you noticed from our scripture passages, beloved, this book of Psalms started out with the Psalms 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, on which he meditates day and night. Psalm 2 also expresses that conclusion. Blessed are all who take their refuge in him, the King that is. Psalm 1 and 2 illustrate that there are two kinds of people, though. These righteous and those who don't listen to the Lord but resist him. The latter, the psalmist show, will find out sooner or later that they are wrong. They'll come to know and realize that this world was created by God and for God, and that it still is his world who wants to be honored and praised by his creatures, by men especially. Now, it's this knowledge that comes to its own to a climax at the end of this book of Psalms. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Verse 20. Psalm 146 also expresses the same. The Lord loves the righteous, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. As does Psalm 147, the Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. We hear the echo of Psalm 1, and we realize that it's also that the Lord be praised by all and always. Hallelujah. That's the purpose of our life. And that will be the goal of our life and of this world. Hence, David's song of praise. We come to our second point, praise him in his works. Now, what actually does it mean to praise, beloved? How do you understand that? Praising God. It would be good when you are home to read through Psalm 145 again. Then you will see how many different words and expressions are used for the same idea. Every day I will bless you. Verse 2. One generation will commend your works to another. Verse 4. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Verse 5. They will celebrate, literally, your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness, verse 7. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom, verse 11, etc., and so forth. Until we come to verse 21, saying, how thus my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. You see, praising God is something different from thanking him. Beloved, when we teach our children to say thank you at various occasions, we instill in them a good manner, some politeness. They receive a candy, and we say then, now what do you say? Thank you, Grandma. Now when you receive a present, however, unwrap it, and you see it is a shawl you really like, and you exclaim, oh, I love these collars, and what a nice material. This will look so good on my Sunday dress, etc. You might forget to say thank you, but your praise and excitement make up for that. Praising is spontaneous. It is expressive. The gift is extolled, and the giver is exalted. The Hebrew might not have a special word for thanksgiving, but it has a large section of words denoting praise, as we have seen in this psalm. In fact, psalmists don't even need to use the word praise, and yet they magnify, glorify, and exalt the Lord. That's how God is praised for his wonderful deeds, his manifold acts by David in Psalm 145. Now you will also understand, beloved, that living to the praise of God's glorious name does not mean that we have to be singing all day. For some people, that's a worry sometimes, you know. They don't like singing, or they don't sing very well. Well, they don't have to worry, for they can praise God for his works in many different ways. There are other people who aren't in the mood for singing, suffering as they are from pain or so. Again, others are wrapped up in all sorts of problems and struggles which make them doubt whether the Lord is really there for them. They would find themselves hypocritical if they would have to praise God in such a frame of mind. Then these psalms at the end of the book of Psalms show us that if we can sing very well, you can still make music and praise. Or, as we saw in verse 5, even meditating on God's works is praising him. Or, as the Lord Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, with prayer as well. Hallowing his name, we start out praising God before we lay our needs before him. We could even be still before the majesty of God, as it is expressed so wonderfully in the song of preparation we sang. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart, and all is darkened in the veil of tears. Then shall you better know his love, his heart, who comes to soothe your sorrows and your fears. What a wonderful thing it is, beloved, that we have a Bible filled with his mighty acts of God, the evidence of his faithfulness, and the expressions of his care and compassions. Yes, what a source of strength and encouragement we find in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. The way he spoke, the works he performed, the sick he healed, the number of people he fed. Just remembering these, and you shake your head in awe of the grace and glory of God. You see, when you are in pain, in doubt, or somber, or not in the mood of praising God at all, just reading his word will lift your soul. Yes, it even happens that just singing the psalms in church could lift your spirits, strengthen your soul, and encourage your heart. That's praising God for his wonderful works and honoring him in his love and care. For the many stories and events you read in his word show us our God and Lord, just as truly and really as we read historical accounts in a novel or the news in the paper. They are the acts, the wonderful deeds Psalm 145 refers to. When you see the sun, moon, and stars at night, or the fields and meadows along the road, or the appearance of an expecting mother, and you think about their maker, you are amazed and alerted. God is real. God is true. God is there for me today as well. You know, beloved, at the appropriate time in catechism classes, I would tell the students the story of a prison guard in Korea who hated the Christians. He had a Christian pastor in the cell he had to watch, and in order to pester him, he had taken his Bible and used its pages as wallpapers for his office. That's how he mocked and challenged this pastor. Yet lo and behold, since he had nothing else to do, he started to read these pages on his office wall and became interested, intrigued, and started to believe. I also know of a Muslim, Salvador Abdulrahman, from Sudan, who was an imam, a leader for the Muslims. He was working on a thesis for his PhD in which he wanted to prove that the Bible was incorrect and full of contradictions. Then he started to read the Bible, study it, and compare it to the Quran, and God called him, convicted him, and convinced him with the Gospel of John especially that Jesus was more than what he read in the Quran. The consequences for his life, his marriage, and his religious background were disastrous. Yet when he ended up in jail, he started to evangelize, read the Bible with his fellow prisoners, and miraculously escaped execution. He became an evangelist among the Muslims. That's God. There. Those are his works, still today. And those are realities moving us to praise him and serve him as our King. Our third point, praise him as your King. Psalm 145, brothers and sisters, is a psalm of praise in which David sets out saying, I will extol you, my God and King. David heard a lot about the kingship of the Lord. He also received tremendous promises himself about the kingship God would confer to him. Yes, in 2 Samuel 7, we read how David was overwhelmed by the idea of God making him king and giving him the promises of his son's future and eternal kingship. No wonder you could say this psalm of praise speaks about this kingship so much. Now, that should be even more wonderful and overwhelming to us, since we know of the kingship of God in Jesus Christ. David knew the Lord in the greatness and glory of his kingship, in his power and majesty, in his grace and mercy. Just as we see today, so in David's time also, the poor peoples in this world are often ruled by tyrants and severe rulers who show no compassion for their subjects. In comparison to them, however, David knew the Lord as the one who bowed down to lift the poor, to help the needy, to feed the hungry, and to liberate the oppressed. Then what incentive we have when we know our King, Jesus Christ, who came to us personally, delivered us, saved us, to set us free in the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what you see and sense already in this Psalm 145, beloved. Christ's majesty, when he walked on the waters, his compassion when he saw the many sick being brought to him, his empathy for the people's plight and poverty, spiritually speaking. Well, he is our King. He wants to be known by us, recognized as such, so that we would speak about him as our King. That's praising him as King. Do you do that? Is that how you speak about him to your children? expressing yourself about him that way in your prayers? You see, that's how we instill a deep respect for the Lord, the fear of the Lord. That's how we honor and praise him in our life. Whatever your circumstances may be, do you so entrust yourself to his care? Accept his plan with your life. Of course, we need doctors and medication and treatment and what have you, but isn't this the bottom line? The Lord, my God, is King, and my life is in his hand. The Parkinson's or the MS or the Alzheimer's or the cancer may not be curable, or the marital relationship may be under great stress, or the business pressures may be too strenuous sometimes, yet then to look to the Lord, to express your trust in the Lord and surrender the future to the Lord, that's praising him as your King. All this and much more, beloved, does not come naturally or automatically, but is worked in us by God's Word and Holy Spirit. He illumines us and instructs us. He speaks to us and sets us together in the communion of saints. Then to each and every one of us in our personal and communal circumstances, he commands us, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever our circumstances, but we know ourselves carried and directed by the Lord in our life. And he makes us walk in the light of his word, that is, in the light of his majesty and glorious acts. Yes, in the light of the Lamb. That makes us full of God, full of amazement, adoration, and admiration. Thankful that we may so know, recognize, and speak of the Lord, to praise him with all creatures and with all who have breath forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, how can we express our gratitude, our praise, our thanksgiving to you for coming to us, manifesting before our eyes your handiworks, coming to us with your word and spirit to show us the work of creation and recreation. And we thank you, Father, for speaking to us again this morning. There is absolutely no doubt about it. You want us to praise you. And we can do that in many ways. We thank you. We are indeed not always in the mood of singing, but we sure have opportunity to meditate, to pray, to ponder, and to see what you have done in our lives. We thank you for revealing yourself. We thank you that we may know you as our God and our Father through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for establishing a covenant of grace with us and making us your people. We are so blessed. You have set us apart in order that we would live to the praise of your glorious name. And this morning you have shown us how we can do that, come what may. Father, we thank you for your love and care. We thank you for your compassion and comfort. We thank you for your provisions and for the prosperity that we may enjoy. We thank you that also in times of adversity, you are there with us. Help us not to putter around in the midst of our own problems, but always to come to you with whatever questions or struggles and troubles we have. We pray, Father, that we may trust you. and confide in you, and may live to the praise of your glorious name that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.